Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response to the day for the second day of Rosh Chodesh Teivet. Let's recall that there isn't always a second day of Rosh Chodesh Teivet. It depends on the years, because while it's true that we know about that we can fix the calendar, or we can change the calendar by having a second Adar or not, another way to change the calendar is by the fact that the months of Cheshvan and Kislev have the possibility of being 29 or 30 days. So there can be 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Kislev and 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Teivet or not. So on some years, there is a second day of Rosh Chodesh Teivet, and this shoot. This response of Rav Moshe Feinstein from Igret Moshe, Evan HaEzer 3:28 Gimel Chav Chet, is from the second day of Rosh Chodesh Teivet of Tav Shin Lamed Bet of 1971. And the issue that he takes up is the question of the responsibilities of a husband to his wife in terms of their sexuality. The Gemara is clear that husbands owe it to their wives. The Gemara assumes that women are interested in this activity. Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to talk a little bit about their kind of interest and what their interest stems from and things like that, and we'll get into that a little bit. But the Gemara sees it as an obligation of the husband. It's mentioned in the Torah. It's one way of understanding the Torah when it talks about She'ira Kesuta Ve'onata. Ona is the responsibility of the husband to make sure that his wife is satisfied in that way. Now, in the Gemara, the Gemara assigns different levels of activity to husbands, to men, based on their professions. We'll get into that. So people who have professions that take them away from home for long periods of time, their onah, their time, their required responsibility to their wives will be at a much longer frequency than to other kinds of people. So the highest level of frequency is, the Gemara imagines, some people who are there every day at home, and then they would have the responsibility every day, should the woman want. We'll get into that in a little bit. When it comes to a Talmid Chacham, to Torah scholars who were assumed in the time of the Gemara to be heavily involved in their Torah learning, such that they weren't able to, it wasn't like they came home every night. It's not like they learned, 9 to 5 and they had a nice relaxed day. It was seen as an activity that took a lot out of them. So the Gemara says it's every week. So the Gemara says Leilei Shabbat Leilei Shabbat, which would mean Friday night to Friday night. This is part of the source of the idea that Friday night is a particular time for husbands and wives to be together. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says you should know that it's not true in the Gemara's perspective that it's a Friday night issue. Really, from the Gemara's perspective, it would be enough that it means once a week. Once it was going to be once a week, they made it into a Friday night issue because Friday night's a time when people are more relaxed and they're interested in enjoyment in general, and therefore adding a physical enjoyment to that was a nice idea. But it's not that, Rav Moshe Feinstein wants us to know, it's not that the obligation is a Friday night obligation. It's that it's a once-a-week obligation. But once it's a once-a-week obligation, then you should certainly try to put it onto Friday night. And he points out the Rambam makes that clear to us as well, because Aram writes that the obligation is once a week. And then he says, V'derech tamidichom, the custom, the way of Torah scholars to do it on Friday night. So it's an absolute obligation. It's a requirement. Now, I have to say, I don't have to say it, but I'm going to choose to say that when we say that it's an obligation, it's not like an obligation like, oh no, I have to eat maror, so I'll throw it down my throat. Once it's an obligation, what we mean is, this is the part that a husband should understand, that part of his relationship with his wife should involve this activity, and then he should do it happily and enjoyably and pleasurably and all those kinds of things. So that's what we mean here. The question is, the reason why Moshe Feinstein is talking about obligations is because he wants to distinguish that from the Friday night issue. It's not that you must do it on a Friday night. It's that it's supposed to happen once a week. Supposed is perhaps a better word than must. It's supposed to happen once a week. What's going to happen once a week? Friday night is an excellent time for that to happen, and that's why it's derech tamidi chachamim to do it that way. Now, it is true that Kabbalistically, there's a reason to do it on Shabbat on Friday nights rather than other times, because it's special sanctity to the day. And therefore, if this incident of the husband and wife living together is going to produce a pregnancy, then you want that pregnancy to happen on a Friday night, or on a Shabbos, because on a Friday night, basically, because you want that kedusha to happen there. But that, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, would only be relevant to those times when pregnancy is a possibility. But let's say they're having relations even when pregnancy isn't a possibility, so then there would be no reason why they have to do it particularly on Friday night rather than another day, rather than during the week. And that's a reminder, by the way, that pregnancy isn't the only reason that a husband has an obligation of ona. A husband has an obligation of ona for reasons we're going to say here, but it's a regular part of a marriage, independent of whether it's producing a pregnancy or not at that particular time. And to say that the Kabbalistic reason would let you say, well, then I'm not going to have relations if it's not Shabbos, that would be the Kabbalah disagreeing with an explicit paragraph or statement in the Rambam that when a man has not yet fulfilled his obligation in period of Rivia, Peyorivia, the obligation of having children, let's remember, is one boy and one girl. And there are people who have lots of girls in a row or lots of boys in a row, and they don't get around to Peyorivia. The way the Rambam paskens it, and this is an issue for like birth control and spacing children and things like that, that's not our issue at all, and therefore I'm not going to talk about it at all. But the Rambam says that when a man has not yet fulfilled his obligation, his basic obligation of having children, of having a boy and a girl, then he has to have relations with his wife at every ona, at every time that it is now. That every ona doesn't mean every day that's possible. You could have imagined, theoretically, one could say, well, if you haven't had children yet, you have to have, you know, relations any moment you can, because you have to be trying to have children. So that's not what the Rambam writes. So he writes, you have to do it b'chol ona, until you have children. B'chol ona means, so ona, as we said, is the frequency that's prescribed for that man. We're going to get to why the Rambam would say it that way in a second, so I'm not going to explain further. But, you know, so if you're a Talmid Chacham, and the standard is once a week, if you were, you know, I forget the exact standard, if you're, let's say, a camel driver, and you say it was every 3 months, whatever it is, but at that frequency, you can't let one go by. The Magen Mishnah there says, that's because you're not allowed to stop striving to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri of Rivia unless you already have children, and that's through the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk in it. In addition, so that would mean, therefore, that the Friday night limitation can't be right, because it's about having, making sure that every ona is covered, every frequency for that particular man is covered. In addition, Rav Moshe points out that the halacha is that when a woman goes to mikveh, the night she goes to mikveh, now I have met some women many years ago, like when I used to be a rabbi, a functioning rabbi in a shul, and a woman would ask me a shayla. Sometimes when people are in trouble maritally, sadly, it can be turned around as if the wife is required to respond to her husband on the night she went to mikveh. But the fundamental issue of a woman coming back from mikveh, Rosh Hashanah pointing out, is that a husband should be being pokate his wife. He should be interested in relations with her at that time as a way of reassuring her of his interest in her and her attraction to her, that they've been separated by this, by the Nida experience, and now they come back to it. So that's a halacha of him. So Rosh Hashanah is saying, and if that's not Friday night, he's still required to do it, right? So he's required again. Not required like it's a burden. Required like it's still something he's supposed to care about and be interested in and find important, regardless of Friday night. So too, the halacha is that when a man is going on a trip, on a business trip, on any kind of trip, he's going to be away for a while. The halacha was that, the halacha assumed that women would sort of feel like there's a worry of that they'd be somewhat insecure. And the relationship here is he's going off on a trip, and that part of the way to reassure the wife that the husband is, in fact, still interested in the relationship, and it's only because he has to go away that he's going away, and it says nothing about his interest in her, is that the night before he goes away also would be a time when he should be careful to open up the possibility, to have it as a, at least a possibility, if not, that they should actually have relations with each other to confirm to each other their connection, their interest in each other. And Rav Moshe says, and I think it's an interesting point to make that people forget, and the merit of the mitzvah, of doing it the right way, and doing it in the way that halacha wants him to do it, so Hashem can add the kedusha, even though it's Tuesday. Meaning you can get so caught up, and he's not saying the Kabbalists disagree with this, you can get so caught up in your Kabbalistic understandings, you forget that Kabbalah isn't like the rules. Kabbalah is maybe how it generally works, but it's always true. Whether it's whatever form of belief you have, whether you believe in nature or in Kabbalah or in astrology, it's always true that Hashem can change any of that. So, you know, if a person gets so caught up in saying, well, Kabbalah says you should only have relations Friday night, and my kids will be, you know, will suffer if I have relations some other time. So, which says you can't say such a thing, basically, because if Hashem wants the child to be, if the mitzvah is do it another time, Hashem will fill that in. And maybe he says even the Ari had only said it, his whole idea that you should restrict yourself to Friday night. That's the way the Ari seems to have said it. You should only do it on Friday night. He only meant that once you had children, once you had fulfilled the mitzvah period review, you had already a boy and a girl, but Rav Moshe says, but it still doesn't work in terms of the night she comes back from mikvah, and also somebody going on a trip. So, therefore, ulamaase, he says, Rav Moshe says, practical halacha, it's clearly true that you have to follow the halacha and you can't follow the Kabbalah. And the halacha is that there are times when husbands and wives should be having, when a husband should be making sure to have relations with his wife if she's interested in so doing, and that is not clearly not restricted to Friday nights, and therefore, you can't get into the mode of saying, well, it's only Friday night. And a practical application of that was Rav Moshe Feinstein knew of an achron, the Machzik Bracha, who had inferred from the mention of Leil Shabbat that the Shulchan Aruch mentions, the Shulchan Aruch says that a Talmid Chacham has relations from Friday night to Friday night. So we've already explained, Moshe Feinstein has already explained, his reading of that is that there's an obligation once a week. Once it's going to be once a week, it's better to do it Friday night, and that's the way the Rambam really has it. And the Shulchan Aruch simply sort of elided those, grouped those together, put those together without differentiating them so carefully from each other. Bachzik Bracha was another Achron, and he had inferred from this Shulchan Aruch that let's suppose for whatever reason a couple could not have relations one Friday night. Now let's remember, assuming the woman is interested, there is an obligation, and if she's not, I think the Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Gemara assume that there's another problem in the marriage the couple should look into. But assuming the woman's interested, so let's suppose some Friday night something happens, and they both agree that it can't happen that Friday night. Something happens. You know, they're out till too late, and they're too tired, or, God forbid, a health emergency, or whatever it is. So now, he's missed his time this week, as it were. So the Machzik Bracha understood from the reference to Friday to mean that if they miss the Friday night, then that's over. They miss that week, and they'll go on the next week, and God willing, everything will go on with their marriage, right? Because it's only Friday night. So Moshe Feinstein thinks it's completely untrue. He thinks that before the next Shabbos comes, there's still this week's Ona that has to be, that you can be involved in, and that you can do come sometime during the next opportunity that you have, you should do it. You should have the relations to make sure that the frequency and the regularity is maintained. Now, there is a reason to think differently than Rav Moshe Feinstein, although he's going to explain it away, but the Prima Gadim, which is a commentary on the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, so the Prima Gadim quoted an Eliyahu Rabba in the name of an Olam Tzomi, whatever the sources are, that talked about that situation. Let's suppose, can you make up for missed opportunities? So for example, let's say you have a person whose Ona is twice in a week, right? There are people whose lives are relaxed enough today, you know, maybe certain kinds of businessmen. Let's say somebody works in diamonds. So let's say he works in diamonds and it's a relatively relaxed life. He goes to the office at 9, he gets out at 5 every day, and he doesn't have a lot going on. That would be a twice a week kind of a person. So let's suppose one particular week, for whatever reason, they only got around to once. Let's say they only got around to Friday night. So come the next week, he's supposed to have twice a week. Let's suppose they generally had relations Tuesday nights and Friday nights. But he missed the previous Tuesday night. So the following week, should he do, you know, a Sunday, Wednesday, Friday? Should he make sure to make that up? Do we make the person make it up? So there the Prima Gadim says no. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, yeah, but that's different. I'm not talking about making it up. I'm talking about we're still in a week, and I'm in the same week I missed a Friday, but I'm in the same week still, and therefore it's not like a Tashlumin in a coming week, and therefore he thinks that it should be done that way. That's what he says. Now, there was a sefer called Ezer Mikodesh that held no, that you have to make it up, that it's about sort of about a number of times. So if 1 week was supposed to be 2 and then you missed it, or 1 month was supposed to be 8 and you missed it, you should be trying to make it up. One of the interesting things about it was the Ezer Mikodesh thought that the pasuk in the Torah that talks about making sure that a husband treats his wife appropriately and gives her what she needs is she'ira kesuta ve'onata, which means her clothing and her food and her support, and then onata means that she has the physical closeness with her husband that she wants, and it says lo yigara, he shouldn't go under it. He shouldn't do less than required. This Ezer Mikodesh said less than required means that it's that fundamental minimal support means it always has to happen. If he misses one, he has to make it up. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and I think this is an interesting comment to make, de lo lanu lidrosh kroy. We don't make inferences from psukim today. That's a whole interesting question of its own. We don't have time to get into here, but that's an interesting comment to make. Do we or don't we allow ourselves to read the Torah and say, here, this is clearly what the Torah means in a way that nobody before us has actually said? Then there's more of a discussion that I'm skipping in terms of certain forms of sexuality that I don't think we have to get into here, that Rav Moshe Feinstein thought that there was no pleasure in it, and therefore you shouldn't get... Anyway. All of that is we're going to skip for now. We're going to stick with frequency and Friday nights. And then because the next question the questioner had raised was, the Gemara gives certain standards of frequency based on certain professions. And we'll get to why those professions were the ones that were mentioned. So one example would be a sapan, a sailor, and the time the Gemara gives was 6 months. The Me'iri there explains that the sailing trips he used to go out on were 3-month voyages out and then 3 months back. And that's why it was 6 months, because he was only home every 6 months, because when he's on the ship, he can't have relations with her. But today, says the questioner, those same kinds of sailors won't be gone that long. Now, I have to say, I've met people who work on, let's say, first of all, on cruise ships. So I met a guy on a cruise ship, and he told me that his job, this wasn't a Jewish guy, but his job was to be on the ship for 6 months in a row. They would be like on for 6 months, and they'd get a month off to go home, whatever it is. So that kind of a person, you'd have a whole discussion about it. But the point of the question was, as the rhythms of various professions have changed, does that change the halacha? Or today, you have people who travel on airplanes, so the whole idea of business travel and of how long you're away for has changed, and does that change the frequency? So it could be, let's say, you just have a businessman who was a traveling merchant, and he would have to drive around the Midwest. I don't know why I always think of the Midwest, where you travel to tell him go. He'd drive around the Midwest, and he'd be gone for 3 weeks at a time. So if he said to me that his owner in the time of the Gemara would have been 3 weeks at a time, every 3 weeks, once every 3 weeks, because that's what his trip was. You'd come home for a night or a day or two, then you go off for another 3 week trip, etc., etc., etc. So if that changes, so does the halacha change? So Rav Moshe says, yeah, I find it odd to imagine that you'd say to me that you're going to have a guy who, whatever profession he is, in the time of the Gemara, that profession meant he would be away from home. Now he's going to be in his house, you know, for days on end and not be involved with his wife at all. So you could say, maybe you would argue, and he's going to reject this argument. Maybe you would argue that a woman who married a man in that profession had been mochelet, had foregone her full rights zone, and she'd understood that she would have a very infrequent time with her husband. But he says, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, it doesn't make any sense to say that she would completely forego it. The hutsara degufa, it's a physical need. And you can't simply abandon your physical need. That's also the kind of a question that Rav Moshe Feinstein throws out, and in this context, I fully understand it, but it becomes much more complicated. Let's say, A, she says she doesn't have that physical need, then what would be the situation? And B, that is a sort of, in our times, a somewhat dangerous thing to talk about, because then there were people with other forms of sexuality or who have other senses of what their sexual needs are, and they'll say, well, it's a physical need, so how can you stop me? So I think this is a complicated question. But coming back to our issue, Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not that a woman marries a man whose job means he has to be home for 6 months at a time. So today you can imagine people who want to go off on, I can imagine people who, let's say, missionaries in the olden times. We don't have Jewish missionaries. But let's say somebody got it into their head, or when they got married, the man says, listen, I want to be involved in, you know, eradicating malaria in Africa. So I go there for 3 months at a time, or I'm on Doctors Without Borders, and I go to, you know, do operations on people in places where they can't get to, and I take 3 month trips twice a year, and you have to understand that. So is it a mechila that you said, okay, it's fine, and that means that if he skips the Doctors Without Borders trip one time, he says, well, but yeah, but these are my 3 months off, I'm not interested in you. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, it's a physical need. So as a physical need, she can have said to herself, I'm willing to put up with it for your job, but not beyond that. And the reason, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the reason that he thinks that the Gemara gave these frequencies, he says, it's obvious the Torah would not obligate a man to do more than he can do by his health and by the amount of time that he has. If he doesn't have the time, he doesn't have the time. And that would explain Rav Moshe Feinstein's to the Rambam has a very interesting psak that I've always wondered about. The Rambam says a man's allowed to marry multiple wives. If he marries multiple wives, they get a fraction of the ona they used to get. You know, let's say a man gets married, he's supposed to have a relationship with his wife twice a week, let's say. So if he marries a second wife, the Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the Rambam says, and this is why, by the way, early on in Sephardic Jewish history, when women got married, the ketubah very often would say the husband was not allowed to marry a second wife without the first wife's consent. And the reason why it would say that is, part of the reason why it says, because the Rambam says right here that if he marries a second wife, then his previous ona was twice a week. He doesn't up it to four times a week twice with each wife. Each wife now only gets once a week, and so on for whatever husband it would be. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that halacha only makes sense if what we're saying is that the minimums, the standards are going to set up with the standard that the man is able to bear. Because otherwise, you can easily imagine, meaning you don't say to yourself, if a husband makes, you know, $25,000 a year and he marries a second wife, so you don't say, well, each wife gets the amount of money that he was spending on the wife before, because there's only a certain amount of money, right? So then that becomes a factor in all of these marriages. But the same way you have as much money as you have, Rav Moshe Feinstein is understanding the Rambam to say you have as much sexual energy as you have, and therefore if the man marries further wives, and this might be a reason not to marry further wives, if the man marries further wives, they have to divide his time, because that's all the time that the man has. Now, it happens to be the Nemuka Yosef disagrees. Nemuka Yosef in Yevamos says that that's halacha would only be true about when when he inherited a wife, as it were, let's say a brother of his sadly passed away without children, and he was the yabam for that wife, and he took her on as the Torah says he's supposed to, maybe there you say that he doesn't have to pick up his game. But if he chooses to marry more women, then he's required, that means then he's saying, I have the ability to give each of them the ona that they deserve. That's more of a reading of it, that ona is her for her benefit. It's the amount that she deserves and that she wants and that she can get. It's true that his profession means he has certain standards, not other standards, but if he's going to choose to add a woman to the picture, then he has to be claiming, the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef is saying, he has to be claiming that he has the energy to keep all of them satisfied. And that would be true, the truth is, about the money example that I gave before. You wouldn't imagine that if a husband and wife are barely making it, the husband could just freely marry another woman and say, yeah, it's fine, I'll add another mouth to feed for no good reason. You can easily imagine that the first wife can say, no, unless you can feed me adequately and also feed her adequately, you can't. And that's what the way the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says it, and the Beit Shmuel on Shulchan Aruch reports it that way. But the Rambam seems to understand Chazal to be saying, this is the amount of energy the man has. So then you'd ask, well, so how come he's allowed to marry a second wife? You talk about that, the Rambam seems to think that's not an issue that you have to worry about. But it says that that is the amount of energy that he has, and that's the way we're understanding it. That would mean, therefore, that if over time professions have changed such that we can imagine his energy to be different, then easily we would imagine it. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein now says something that I think is A, very interesting, and B, somewhat modern and somewhat understanding of the nature of relationships. Because Moshe Feinstein says he thinks that the whole idea of ona is not about a fixed level of sexual energy or sexual desire. It's not like women want as much sex as they can get in the Gemara's impression, and it's just the limiting factor is how much energy the husband has for it. Rather, Moshe Feinstein says he thinks that the idea of ona, the idea of the rhythm of their relationship should be that whenever the husband sees that the wife is interested in him and she's interested in that kind of activity, he should be open to it, and to the extent that he can, he should be open to responding to her interest positively and enjoying an encounter with her. And that's why he thinks, or Moshe Feinstein thinks, when Rava says in Psachim that a man is obligated to make his wife happy when they're engaging in relationships, and Rashi says, even at a time when it's not her ona, so where does Rava get that obligation? Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks it's a chiyuv gamor mido, right? That's an absolute Torah obligation. And the way that Rav Moshe Feinstein said to be Torah obligation, the Gemara there says, well, if a man's obligated to try to have a relationship with his wife and to make her happy in those ways, the Gemara says, well, what happens if it turns out that she's a nida? So when it turns out she's a nida, and they hadn't realized that we assume that they're required to bring a korban chatat. They bring the sacrifice that atones for an unwitting violation of a prohibition that had a karet punishment attached to it. But we also have a principle that if somebody's involved in a mitzvah and does that, it's not as clear that they bring a chatat. So there's a whole discussion about, let's say somebody is giving a brit milah to his son, and he has a son who was born on Sunday, and a son who was born on Shabbos, or a son who was born on Friday, a son who was born on Shabbos, and he does the mila on the wrong one on Shabbos. So there's a whole discussion about maybe he's a Torah bidvar mitzvah. Since he was involved in a mitzvah, he doesn't have to bring a korban katan. If Rava says that he has to, the Gemara asks that question. Rosh Hashanah says that question only makes sense if Rava was speaking about a biblical obligation, because if it was only a rabbinic obligation, you wouldn't think that would get you out of a korban katan. So too, the whole obligation that before a man goes on a business trip, well, on a trip, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says in Yevamos that he has to lepokda, he has to be to suggest to her that they have relations to reassure her about their closeness with each other. That also is assumed to be a mitzvah d'oraita, an obligation at a Torah level. Why do we know that? How do we know that? Because there's this idea called vestut. We've had occasion to discuss on other occasions that when a woman has reason to think that this might be the time period in which she would ordinarily become a nida, she would ordinarily menstruate and therefore become a nida, that is a time period where we usually assume that halachically the husband and wife should stay away from each other for that 12-hour period. It's either a daytime or a nighttime, they should stay away from each other. But Rav Yosef, it says that if the man's going on a trip and as he's about to leave, it's samuch levesta, they can ignore the samuch levesta issue. They can ignore that issue that she's in that time period when she ordinarily has to worry that she's going to become a nida. Nonetheless, they're allowed to have relations. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein says it shows you two biblical halachot that we're allowed to push aside because of the question of Ona, because of the question of her interest in having a relationship with her husband. So it seems to say that there's an obligation of the husband at a d'oraita level, at a Torah level, that if the wife is interested, if he senses, if he knows that she's interested in having relations with him, that he has a biblical obligation of the din of Ona, of the halacha, of the law of Ona. He has an obligation to satisfy, to respond positively and appropriately, and to satisfy her. So why would Chazal codify it an amount of times and a number of times a month or a week or whatever it is? That's because most women are tsnuot. I just this morning was writing up another tshuva about tsnuot. Tsnuot in the sense of being discreet. They don't like to talk about things. They don't like to be open and brazen about things. And therefore, when they're feeling the urge to have to be involved in sexual relations with their husband, to be physically close with their husbands, it's not comfortable or easy for them. And Chazal like the fact that it's not comfortable or easy for them to express it. Not that they like the fact the women are repressed. They like the fact that there's a modesty, there's a discretion in how their interactions. But in order to take care of that, the Chazal said, we'll make up times. And therefore, in making up times for it, giving amounts of times and minimums for it, that will be, and the standard there was as much as the man can bear to be sure that her needs will be met. And that really, more than that, a woman won't want, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, because they'll know that their husband is very busy. Because, he says, he thinks a large part of this picture, this is the way he's understanding it, and he's understanding the way Chazal put it together, but he thinks a large part of the picture is that the women are somewhat insecure, and that part of why they're interested in this activity is because of the security it provides them. There's the physical need, there's a pure physical need. Beyond the pure physical need, there is their worry that maybe, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and most women assume that men are more interested in this activity than women. There's a Gemara based on that as well. The Gemara points out, and this might not be as true anymore as it once was, sadly, it shows part of the corruption of our society, it used to be that prostitutes were all women because men would go around buying it and women wouldn't. So there are a lot of answers you give for why that's true, but Moshe Feinstein's assumption is that it seems to have always been true that men were more interested in this kind of activity than women, and therefore a wife, if her husband's not interested in her, will feel like that's not only a question of there's some flaw or some problem in their physical relationship, she'll take it as some flawed problem in their relationship as a whole, and that Chazal were trying to remind the husband to make sure to reassure her in all those ways that she shouldn't have that sense of insecurity, and therefore that whenever he's able to, he should be involved in that activity to the extent of his capabilities. And that once it's to the extent of capabilities that he's doing that, Chazal then assumed that the wife, this is what Moshe Feinstein is saying, that Chazal, the wife would understand that, and therefore she wouldn't feel any of that insecurity. There might be a physical issue, she might have a physical need that she'll have to wait a little bit for, but that's not nearly as deep a problem or as serious a problem as the insecurity that could have been created. And when she knows that he's involved in it, as often as he's able to, that will take care of that aspect of her worries about him, and therefore that's what goes. And that would also mean, though, that if his profession changes, and therefore he can be involved with her more than before, that would seem to imply that it would change, and that Chazal's standards and numbers weren't absolute numbers. They were numbers about how they understood the physical capabilities of men at the time based on the profession that they were involved in. Now, once we see it that way, it happens to be there's a whole discussion that I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but Rav Moshe Feinstein points out there's a discussion in the Gemara about whether a man can change professions in a way that will require him to be away from home more often. So if we've said that women feel insecure and they want this part of the relationship and it's important and their physicality is important to them and important to Chazal, right, and then that the husband is going to have less time for her and less physical energy for her, then there's room to say that she should be able to object. Now, and there's a financial element there too. Maybe the new job is going to make it let him be rich, whereas until now, what is he till now? If until now he's literally scraping along or going into debt, that would be one set of circumstances. But let's suppose they're reasonably middle class, and the change in job, which will involve a reduction in the ability to spend time with her, would make them upper class. There's room to say that she can object because there are women who would prefer to have a closer marital relationship and forgo all of that. And this is something that you can easily see, but that plays out in their sexual lives as well. And the last little piece of it that I want to point out is that there are people today, he points out, who say the Torah scholars should be involved with their wives, should have relations with their wives twice a week, if she, assuming that she wants it as well, twice a week rather than the once a week the Gemara talk about. The Gemara's time Talmid Chachamim would often be like busy all week long, so busy that Torah scholars, today I think people think of Torah scholars, people like sit around and do nothing and hang out, so why wouldn't they have time for their wives? But I think in the time of the Gemara, Torah scholars were learning maybe closer to day and night, were spending more time in it, and therefore didn't have the time for this kind of activity with their wives more than once a week, which would have been Friday night as we started. So therefore, there were people who said that now we're times twice a week. Moshe Feinstein says he agrees, and he agrees for a very interesting reason. He agrees because of Pritzas Hador, because the generation has become so, now Parutz here, Pritzim here means like promiscuous and lewd and lacking in proper discretion, lack of proper sense of things and refinement and all those kinds of ways. But that will lead to Vekinat Yerech Chaverta, will lead to a possibility that women will feel differently than they would have felt at all times. Meaning there was a time when a woman whose husband was a Torah scholar, she would say, well, every Friday night we get together and he loves me and we're having a wonderful relationship, but he's busy learning Torah during the weekend. That's great. But if you come to a time where, let's say, her friends are all people whose husbands are around more, and involve that activity more, and talking about how much their husbands love them more, so then you can imagine it changing the situation. Moshe Feinstein seems to think that's true, and therefore he seems to agree that in our times, it should be twice a week, assuming the woman is interested in that, because that would be the amount that it would take to make sure that she feels as comfortable and supported and secure as she should. So, a response about the responsibilities of a husband to his wife, which start off as sexuality, which Moshe Feinstein makes clear, are really about making sure that she understands how he feels about her and the extent of the ways he feels about her and keeping the marriage healthy in all of its various possible ways. That's a response of the day for the second day of Rosh Chodesh Tevet, the second day of the new moon of the month of Tevet, with thanks to the OU Rabbi Jacob Bromwich, David Hochhauser, for making these shiurim available to you. I bid you a good day.